Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to this seminar at Multiply 2021. This is the Building Evangelistic Confidence Seminar. Woo-hoo. Before we begin, let me tell you a few practical things. We will be recording this session and it will be available in the future to watch via the digital platform ccx.media. The only people visible will be me, our speaker and panelists. If you post a question in the question box, it will not be visible in the recording. If we mention your question, we'll only mention your first name to comply with GDPR. To ask a question today, please put it into the question box. We really need to make sure that goes there rather than the chat. That'd be really helpful. If your question is already in the question box, then do like it so it gets upvoted and is more likely to be answered by our speakers sooner. Please use the chat section for chats and the Q&A feature for questions. And also please do share anything you find interesting or informative from the session using the chat box. You can also share it on social media at the Gregory CCX, hashtag Multiply X 2021, hashtag CCX. I am your host, Ben Gardner, and with me today is Dr. David Soler, Senior Pastor of Royal Connections London, Phil Knox, Head of Mission to Young Adults at the Evangelical Alliance, and author of Storybearer, and Simon Gilbo, who is the founder of Great Lakes Outreach and works in Central Africa and UK. Welcome to you all. We are going to start our time by hearing a talk from Dr. David Soler. We will then hear some responses from Phil and Simon before moving on to some conversations and questions. We'd love to hear from you, so please do submit any questions via the question facility. So David, Dr. David Soler, over to you.
Yes, thank you so much, Ben, for the opportunity to be here. And I'm really grateful for my co-panelists, Simon and Phil. We've had a good relationship so far. And I'm trusting God that this seminar will somehow bless all of us and we'll learn from each other, because really we are all learning from each other. That's the aim of this. So I want to share very briefly. I believe I've got a few minutes. I hope you can see my screen. Can you see my screen? Fantastic. So let me try and see if I can do this well. So the thought is on building evangelistic confidence. That's what I'm supposed to talk about. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to meet together, and we ask your blessing upon this session, that please bless us and help us, that your purpose shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, now then, building evangelistic confidence. I'm going to read the scripture to us. It's in St. Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. St. Matthew, chapter 28, 18 to 20. Bible says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this is what is popularly called the Great Commission. And I want to make a few statements that is about making disciples of all nations. In other words, every nation needs to be part of the body of Christ, all ethnic group, no matter where they come from. And the starting point is witnessing. The starting point is witnessing. In other words, sharing the gospel with others. That's the starting point. And this is sharing the gospel with others, and it is the process of winning souls. So evangelistic confidence, therefore, comes from the fact that we are desirous in winning souls. Okay? Now, a church that has lost its evangelistic zeal, passion, or fire will settle for maintenance mode. God doesn't want us to be in a maintenance mode. He wants us to have evangelistic zeal. So we mustn't allow apathy to come in this area. We should be keen to raise people that will turn their world right side up. And that's the desire of God. That must be in the heart of every leader. Our evangelistic efforts and aim should be towards making disciples, not just winning souls, but also to make disciples of people. And like I said some time ago, that is critical to understand that there are no shortage of sinners in the world. Sinners are everywhere. People that need to know Jesus Christ are everywhere. So our aim should be to make disciples of those that we win to the Lord. And this should be at the forefront of every leader, every believer, and every pastor. It's critical to also understand that we don't just become Christians and stay as Christians, but rather we go out to win souls unto the Lord. And this is important because people must be saved. John chapter 4 verse 35 thereabout says, John 4:35, he says, do not say there are yet 4 months unto harvest. Say, lift up your eyes unto the fields, for they are white and ready for harvest. Okay, so we must trust God that this is what our responsibilities are. God wants people to be saved. He hasn't changed his mind. Jesus is our savior and is our focus. Jesus will not die twice. He has died only once, and therefore we must witness. We must tell others about Jesus. The truth is, we can't give to the world what we have not received from the Lord. And that's why the Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you. So we will receive from the Lord and we tell the whole world. The fruit of the righteous is a soul that is won. So we must be passionate about it, and we must win souls, because Jesus himself was a soul winner. That's why he came to set the captives free. And we want to be like Jesus. Therefore, we must endeavor, focus our mind on winning souls. Listen, we must allow and understand that the center of Christianity has moved from churches and buildings to the heart of individuals who carry Christ wherever they go. So each of us must become Christ carriers, be conscious of it, that this is who we are in Christ. There's a desperate cry that souls must be saved. People need to know the Almighty God as their Savior. And there's no better time than this post-pandemic season. So let's look at how then can we build this evangelistic confidence. 7 keys, very quickly. Number one, is we must put a desire in our hearts and others we come across to win the lost and please the Lord. I said please the Lord because really, when we win souls and we win others for Christ, we're actually pleasing the Lord. So we need that desire in our heart. We need to pray and tell the Almighty God, Holy Spirit, put a desire in my heart and in others I come across to win the lost at all costs. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to everyone that believes. So we need that desire. An intense desire must be put in our hearts so that we know that everyone around us, wherever we find ourselves, they need to know Jesus Christ. Number two, we must prioritize the Great Commission. We got to prioritize the Great Commission. It's got to become priority. Let's make the priority priority. Let's major on the major, not on the minor. This is the essence of Christianity, the Great Commission. Number three is also to purposefully strategize and be intentional about it. We got to be purposefully strategic and be intentional. That means we don't just leave it in the air and say, well, everybody should win souls, we must become evangelistic. No, to build the confidence, leaders must become strategic, intentional about it in the churches, in the groups we belong, in the small groups, in the set churches, in the estates, in the rural area, wherever we are ministering, we must become strategic about this. And number four, we must passionately preach it. I feel very strongly that people have faith for what they hear. So the more we preach it on our altars, in our groups, the more people can buy into it, because what is talked about gets done after a while. Then number five, I'm mindful of my time. Number five, we must pray it through. Now, this is important. We got to pray it through. In other words, no evangelistic effort will succeed in the church or amongst people of God without deep prayer. We must allow the Holy Spirit to take us back to the place of prayer. And in particular, our stories are, this is where I can tell some of our stories, that we have had opportunities in the past to evangelize in some areas in the United Kingdom, in some parts of Europe, and there were no results. So the Lord now taught us that the first thing you do is to take time to pray. So usually what we do is we set aside the time to pray through, to pray on the place before we begin any effort at all. In particular, I remember a few years ago in a place called Woolwich, we had a church plant there, Woolwich in South London, and the church wasn't growing. We made efforts. Nobody was listening to us until we went to the place of prayer and took some time to actually pray and wait on the Lord. And after that, God gave us strategies, simply to print a little tract and then began to share the tract with people. People started coming to the Lord, all kinds of nationalities, because we are prayed through. I feel very strongly we got to take care of the spiritual warfare by the strong man who is holding people. The Bible says if people are lost, it's because the prince of this world has blocked their hearts, has taken over their mind. So we need to take care of that first before we begin to evangelize. And so if we make it a priority in every service we do in our churches, in our small groups, to pray about souls, about souls, about souls. Psalms 2:8 says, ask of me and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance. The more we pray about it, the more it comes to people's consciousness, and the better our efforts will be along this line. Then, when we are winning souls, we must teach people how to be practical in their approach. And it's very simple. Use your stories and testimonies. That's all. Don't try to know too much. Don't be too great a theologian. Just your stories. What you were before. I remember my early days in Christianity. I simply used to tell my friends, you know who I was before, see who I am now. I found peace. I found joy. And I know where I'm going in life because I found Christ. So just tell your stories about who you are, and then that will help people. And then number 7, be patiently wait for the harvest. Patiently wait for the harvest. In other words, sometimes we might be doing some of these efforts in the local churches on our streets and feel that we're not getting results. But let's wait for the harvest, because sometimes you plant the seed, okay, Apollos may water the seed, but God gives increase. But our desire should be every day we are intentional about telling somebody about Christ. And as we do this amongst our community, it becomes easier now to be able to learn how to practically do the, especially in this post-pandemic era, is an opportunity for us to preach Christ like we have never done before. That's what I want to say. So how do we do this? Reach out to friends, okay? Use technology by all means. Let's leverage on it. You can write something online. Nobody holds you back. It is our opportunities. All the virtual party for your friends, Zoom party, and people come on there, you share gospel with them. So we try to even do this in every situation, be it at a wedding, be it at a christening, whatever it is, even warming of a house, you share Christ. You know, bridal party, you share Christ with people. In 2 minutes, you've sown the seed, you know. Record your testimony, your stories, and share online, on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever you have, or try to share a spiritual conversation. In fact, we try to tell people that even when you're going for your barbing, for your manicure, whatever, your dry cleaners, pray to God, Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity to share Christ with this person. And I think as we do that, we'll see that things will get better. In prayers, as I close, pray for open doors to share the gospel. Lord, give me open doors. It's important, and take advantage of them. Create a list of people you would like to evangelize to, if possible, and then plan regular times to spend with lost friends. Our stories in Europe has been like this. Many nations we have been able to plant churches in, we didn't even know people there. We just went to pray because God told us to. So we've gone to a place like Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland. We've gone to old meetings in these places. And God has given us harvest to be able to plant several churches in the place because we took time to pray. Let me conclude by saying to you, we exist to win the lost, all of us. But we must disciple the one and deploy the discipled and then support the deployed. I hope this has made some sense to you within the time we have. God bless you.
Dr. David, fantastic. That was brilliant. There was a lot of amens going on there. I don't know if you saw that, but lots of nodding from us as well. Brilliant. Thank you so much for your passion, your energy, but also the practical tips for building confidence in evangelism. I'm going to bring in Simon and Phil. So, Simon, any reflections on that and something that you want to bring about how we can build evangelistic confidence within our churches?
Sure. Well, hi, everybody. I just want to share with you basically that something that I have found incredibly effective recently. Now, my context is 20 years in Africa, and I mean, back 2 years, and wanting to bring some of the African fire back and not sort of get things toned down as I've got back here. And I've tried various things out there. In terms of if we are here right now discussing building evangelistic confidence, there is no tool that I've come across as effective as this tool. And some of you will have come across it, but I suspect most of you haven't yet. It's called Jesus at the Door. It's by a guy called Scott McNamara. And in terms of getting people out there on the streets, and not just having to do it on the streets. I mean, I was sat two Monday nights ago, I was sat at a cricket game. Well, I was playing cricket, but it was we were on the batting team, and there was one spectator because we weren't that good to watch. And I sat next to him, and I had half an hour with him, and I showed him this, and you can get the app on your phone, the script's on the back. It's very clear, very coherent, and I led him to the Lord. And you know, I have 30 minutes. You don't actually need 30 minutes. I've taken people out on the streets regularly. Last week, we were in Cambridge, took 30 people out there. I live in Bath, so we do it once a month here. But just, you know, someone knocks on the door, whatever. I could go through it very briefly with you, but I just want to quote Barna. Barna says that 96% of Christians have never led anyone to the Lord, and only 4% have. And yet, as David just said, that is our job. That's our primary mandate, is to go and make disciples. And I took these 18 people out last month, 2 months ago, and two of those ladies came back, and they were turbocharged. They're like, yeah! And they just led someone to the Lord for the first time. And they said, wow. Oh, we're joining that 4%ers. And it was just so exciting, empowering them. And all we'd done was I said, come along and give it a taster. And we spent half an hour going through the script, if you like, saying how you can do it. And then 15 minutes practicing on each other. And then we'd gone out for an hour. And in that hour, we led 9 people to the Lord. And I said, you know, there's 18, 9 groups of two. We all share the story. So I didn't lead anyone to the Lord that day, but I loved it. These others came back and said, yeah. And then one lady on the way home, she'd led someone to the Lord for the first time that day. On the way home, she led someone to the Lord. And in the last month, she's led 5 people to the Lord. And she's absolutely turbocharged. And this is just your average person. Like, I mean, it's not rocket science. So listen, jesusatthedoor.com. Scott McNamara, check it out. I mean, essentially, you know that, you probably know that picture. That's an update. That's Charlie Maxey's version of Holman Hunt's old picture of Jesus. You stand at the door of your heart. You just go up. All right, blast it. Have you ever seen this picture? And do you pray? No. All right. Well, whatever. This is Jesus at the door of your heart. He's knocking. Can you see the handles on the inside so that only you can open it? Now, many people are praying that they like pray through the door. They know someone's in there, but they don't know who it is. And then visualize a backpack. Put all the bad things you've ever done on your backpack. Would it be heavy? Yeah, it'd be heavy, wouldn't it? And that's your sin. It's your debt towards God. It separates you from God. It stops you having a relationship with him. And he wants a relationship. He doesn't want religion. Now, imagine that you had a debt for 10 grand and I wrote you a check, gave you that check. You put it on your account. What happens to that debt? It goes, doesn't it? It disappears. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid your debt. And he loves you so much. And he's saying, listen, I've written the check. I've signed it in my blood. Paul, John, whatever, what are you going to do with it? You're going to cash it. You're going to open the door. Now, picture the wind. Sorry, I've missed that one bit. It's if Jesus was here right now, would you let him in? And most people say, yeah, I would let him in. Well, visualize the wind. You can't see the wind, can you? But you can feel it. And Jesus is here right now. And can I pray that you'd feel him right now? And invariably they'll say yes. And then lastly, you'd say, you know, you've been journeying your own way, and do you want to turn around and actually from here on in journey with Jesus? And that's it, guys. So listen, jesusatthedoor.com, it's a tool. To me, it's the best tool I found. I went out last week with a 16-year-old. Last month, I went out with an 80-year-old, all in between, both of them utterly empowered, loads of people coming to faith. Obviously, it's about discipleship making, right? So you need to get hold of their number and then follow them up and get one alpha or whatever. Anyway, I'll stop there. You can see that, but in terms of empowering, it's the best I've found. And it's very simple. It's visual. It's memorable. You can do it. Go for it. Get it going in your churches. Let's multiply.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Simon. Phil, anything to contribute to that? sure.
Yeah, thanks, David. Thanks, Simon. Absolutely wonderful. And just want to draw on a couple of things you said, David. One was the morale was about stories. Talked about telling stories, and we are story people. Culture is shaped by stories, and so culture shaped by stories. Building evangelistic confidence culture is shaped by stories of evangelism. So notice there, I said stories about evangelism, not stories about conversion, because stories about conversion are brilliant, but we also need to tell stories of when we fail as well and we get it wrong. You know, we need to celebrate with the angels when someone comes to faith. But if we also tell the stories when there's no result, we also build confidence, because if we only tell the success stories, when someone summons the courage within them to invite their friend to church or to Alpha or to Jesus at the door, and it doesn't quite work out, then they'll never do so again if all they've heard is stories of success. So let's tell stories of success and celebrate with the angels, but let's also tell stories when it doesn't go so well. And within that, we also need to tell stories of our own. This is the age of authenticity. And if we as church leaders aren't leading by example in this, then we don't stand much chance inspiring others. David touched on this right at the beginning when he talked about having the desire in our own heart. But that desire we have to lead by example and be talking to our friends and doing the stuff Simon's doing on the streets. But alongside that, I loved David. My favorite bit when I was whooping up and down saying amen was when you said preach it. Because we need to talk about evangelism. That which we talk about becomes that which comes into reality. We have to prepare people. You know, we are brilliant at many, many things as a church, but you know, this isn't our greatest area of strength. J. John did a piece of research where he asked 1,000 church leaders, how many of you have you done training in evangelism for your members? And out of those 1,000, whatever you're thinking, the probability is a lower number, because 36 out of those 1,000 said they'd done any training in evangelism. And you know, just what Simon's done there, just taking us through a really simple journey. 36 out of 1,000 church leaders in this country are doing that. We've got to increase that percentage. Imagine what would happen if we did. And we know through talking Jesus, the research done a few years ago, that the greatest influence in someone coming to faith is a friend or a neighbor or a colleague. We know that the biggest barrier Christians have in sharing faith, from some research from last year, is that most Christians don't have enough friends who aren't Christians. So we as leaders need to be releasing people to be the best friends they can be. I don't know about you, but I think Christians should be the best friends in the world. Jesus said, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, the way you love one another. And let's also, alongside that, train them to give an answer when anyone asks them, to give a reason for the hope that they have. That really simple model that Simon's just done. What did that take? 90 seconds? Let's go further. Let's train people to be able to give a reason for the hope that they have, to tell their story, to share something of what Jesus has done. And my final encouragement from what David said was, I really liked what you said about patience, about it taking time. Because not only does growing a culture in our churches around evangelism take time, but also sometimes in our post-Christian world, the journey to faith is quite a long one. So I'll give you two examples of this. One's the stories of success and one's failure. This week, I've had one of the greatest moments of my year. I met up with two fellas to watch the England game who I was at uni with 20 years ago. And one of them said, about half an hour into the conversation, he said, Phil, you're going to love this. I've become a Christian. And I was like, wow. The last time I'd seen this guy was about 18 months ago, just before the pandemic. And he met up with me and he has got everything. He's got an amazing job, loads of money, nice car, great wife, great kids. And he said, I'm really beginning to wrestle around questions of meaning and purpose. I'm beginning to worry about what happens to me when I die. He said, can you help me? I said, not really. I'm only joking. This is the absolute evangelist dream. So we talked a bit throughout lockdown. I've been kind of sharing faith and sending him books and stuff. Anyways, become a Christian. And we have got this other mate who I've been praying for over 20 years to come to faith. And he's not there yet. But I pray one day he will. It just takes time with so many people. But let me tell you, let me encourage us that God is on the move. Let's be as intentional as we can about growing those good news cultures and confidence in our churches. Let's go for it. It really matters. Thank you, David, for what you shared. It was brilliant.
Thanks, Phil. I think it's the appropriate time to plug this. There are other books out there. I know Simon's got one, Dave, but Phil's paid me to do this. So there you go, Phil. You got it out there, sharing the story. This is your time to get some questions in. We haven't got very long, about 15 minutes or so, just to get your questions. So please put those in the Q&A. I've seen some in the chat already, but if they could go on to the Q&A, that'd be really helpful. And you can upvote if one of them comes up. So make sure you start doing that in the next few minutes. I've got one for you guys. If I'm sitting here watching this, I go, well, I'm not David, I'm not Simon, I'm not Phil. I feel like I want to get involved in this, but I'm scared. What would you say to those watching now about evangelism and sharing faith? It can be quite scary, as you've said. 96% haven't. So how do they do it practically?
In my experience, it all starts with prayer. Genuinely. So if I've got someone who's never led anyone to the Lord, not even begun to even admit to their friends that they're Christians, start by praying for them. I think David mentioned just write a list of people who you want to see come to faith and start praying. My experience is that as I pray more, I care more. So our neighbors who I began to pray for to come to faith, God just burned in my heart for them to come to faith. And I think that prayer, encouraging people to start there, leads to them thinking about how I might share faith. And I think in our church cultures as well. So when we do intercessory prayers at church, how often do we pray for the Queen and for the sick? Loads, which is great. How often do we pray for people to come to faith and encourage people in our church families to think about people they know who don't know Jesus yet? I think that's part of the culture as well.
And I could add that, we're all scared when we go out in the streets, right? I mean, it's not like, oh, I've got no fear. But as you're doing it, as you step out in faith, it is just remarkable. And I think God completely honors that. And I love it how the most average sort of people that seem like nothing, they come back and, oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. A total highlight. So we've got to face our fears. We've got to press on through the fears. And it's never as bad. In a year and a half of doing street evangelism since I've been back from Africa, the worst I've had was no. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, unless you are being offensive, and one guy was being, so we've had one negative experience in 18 months. He was being offensive. He was in their face, talking too loudly, not listening to them. That was his mistake. I've had to rebuke him and sort of say, look, you know, the offense is the gospel at some points, but no, you know, we're not to offend. And so if no is the biggest deal, I mean, we've got to get through the fear. You know, I was with my evangelistic guys in Burundi. I was over there with them and they said, Simon, when we finish reaching out to the Muslim communities and they're throwing stones at us, it'd be really helpful if we could have a car to get away a bit quicker. I'm like, that's persecution. We got no persecution over here, really. Come on, guys. Let's face it. We're not getting stones. Just a few words. You can do it.
Fantastic. Thank you. David, I think someone's asked if you might share the 7 points that you made, maybe in the chat or some way, being able to send a link to that. That'd be fantastic just to encourage people in those 7 points. That's brilliant. And there's some questions coming through now. Simon, about the opener for the card. How do you start talking to strangers? How do you approach them? How do you go about it?
Well, you just go up and say, hi, my name's Simon. You've got a couple of seconds. And then you say, it's like, have you seen this picture and do you pray? And, you know, again, if people want to talk, they'll talk. If they don't want to talk, we don't want to get in their face. So it's respecting people. And, you know, 12 out of 16 knows. That was what I experienced that time. That's still 4 great conversations. And that's what you will get.
So another question has come in. I think I'm going to put this to David, actually. How do you see the role of online church in evangelism? Obviously, that's been quite big over the past year and a bit. Have you personally got involved in that? What does that look like to engage in evangelism online?
Thank you so much, Ben. I think it's a fantastic opportunity to have other mediums to spread the gospel. So online, therefore, is one of those. Now, if we can get people saved online and find a way and a means to disciple them, then it's fantastic. Okay, because what happens is online, you might never be in the same nation. For instance, as a church, I've been running online program for many years. God just told us to do this like 5 years ago. And then you have people joining you from Australia, from everywhere, and you're discipling these people, but directing them to go to a local church where they find themselves, allow people to bring their friends in. So I think online is a fantastic tool that God has given us opportunity to use in this season that we're unable to gather together. So by any means possible, let's just make sure that whatever happens, we are sharing the gospel at every opportunity, no matter the gathering. Tell somebody about Christ, sow the seed and leave it there. You know, be so conscious. So I think online is fantastic and we can be creative about it. You can be talking about cooking if you have that kind of person and you slot in a story about Jesus Christ. One day I was walking the nature and I took a little video with my phone. My wife took it. We're talking about, look at the trees. They shed their leaves, you know. just talk about that. People are listening to that, but we share Christ in it. So every opportunity possible, we talk about Christ. I think that that's really the desire. Yes.
Love that. Love that. Phil, I think I'll direct this to you. And there's some questions here about the Church of England and I think churches generally sort of that lack of tools to help equip people to train up those in the church to evangelize. And someone else talking about that they've been preaching. Andy talked about preaching about evangelism. They've shared their experience about evangelism. They've tried to provide training evangelism, but they seem to be missing getting it to the congregation to get them equipped. Are there tools out there? What can they use? I know this one's quite good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, thank you. I'll tell it in the post. I think there's the short answer is there's loads of tools out there, but I think it's about a culture where we do it's lots of things going on. So that prayer thing I'd say is a really good starting point. But in terms of tools, we're currently running Talking Jesus, the kind of online videos on Monday nights, just on Zoom. There's about 25 of us in our church family. We just stick Zoom on and do that. The Story Bearer book that Ben's waving around, there's online kind of group stuff alongside that. And so there's kind of a whole, the aim of that is that the book I've written, someone by the end of reading that book, people will be able to share their story, share the gospel, pray for a few friends, be a great friend and lead someone to Jesus. And so each of the kind of, there's five sessions shaped around each of those areas. And so that's great. But as the Evangelical Alliance, my day job of working for the Evangelical Alliance, we've got a website called The Great Commission. If you go on there, there's loads of resources, not only to help share Jesus evangelistically, but also training resources for training people in evangelism. So I'll put the address to that in the chat as well. But yeah, there is loads out there. I think the challenge is using them, but also not just ticking a box at the end of it and saying, well, we've done evangelism, now let's move on. It's, I think, as David and I both shared, it takes time to create these cultures. Yes, I think that's what I'd say, really.
Can I say, we've got to lead from the front, haven't we, on this, as leaders? And another methodology is evangelism explosion. And just the start of that guy who did it out of Fort Lauderdale in James Kennedy in the 1970s. But he went on a mission he did an evening preaching session, but the story was that he was taken out in the daytime by the guy with him, and he didn't want to do the daytime door to door, but he saw how it could be effective. He went back to his church and he did a 10-week preaching series on evangelism, and they said, right, go, and no one did anything. And they said, all right, I haven't done enough depth. So he did a 12-week series and said, go, and they didn't go. And then what he worked out was that he had been modeled it with his friend, the actual going, and it was actually going out onto someone else's turf that was the process that actually was the discipleship making part of it. So we need to get out there in whatever context. And I'm thinking, for example, you know, I'm in a small church on the state. Why don't we go around this summer and just do street by street, knocking on the doors and saying, you know, this is what we're offering to you as the community. And, you know, these are the services we've got. Are you interested in any of them? And then you get a database of people that are engaged or completely happy with their lives without God. And then you have the chance to do that or do whatever. But if we're delegating as leaders to someone else to go and do it, it's just not going to happen. And then also, if a number of you as leaders on this will be preachers as well, then you're saying, when I led Giza to the Lord last week, instead of 14 years ago or whatever, you know, you've got fresh stories of the Lord using you, which is so much, again, people talking about authenticity and stuff like that and stories. We need those fresh stories, don't we? And so it's pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones, modeling it for our people. Our people cannot do it if we are not modeling it. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, totally agree, Simon. I after talking to you guys the other day, we met a few days ago to sort of talk about the content for today. And I went for a run on a Sunday morning and felt the prompting of the Lord to speak to someone that I ran past twice. and I just went up to them and said, you know, opened our conversation and said, I was from the church, I'll be praying for him on that Sunday. And this guy just burst into tears and opened up a story that was going on in his life at that time. And then I changed my talk that morning to share it, because it's something that I try and do sometimes, but I get a bit fearful as well. And all of a sudden it opened up a whole load of doors for people later on in the day saying that was a really powerful talk. And actually, it's given me confidence to share my faith as well. So, yeah, takes a bit of guts. I find it hard as well, but it just takes up front stuff. I just totally agree. There's a few people agreeing. Totally. So Michael said, God does miracles when we step out of the boat like Peter. Ordinary people trusting Jesus will do his work. Again, brilliant. A question here about introverts and extroverts. How about if you're an introvert, how do you and struggle to share your faith? How do you evangelize? Those that you've worked with, I'm sure there's probably many that you've worked with that are more introverts, maybe yourself are introverts, but you look extrovert when you're up front. David?
I'm sure Phil and Simon will have loads of stories along this line. But I like to say, generally, I'm not that. I can talk a lot when I'm preaching, but my background, I'm trained as a medic. So, I don't talk much. But I've realized that when you pray, that's why I emphasize the one of prayer. When, number one, you're conscious that you want souls to be won. Then you're telling the Lord, even just as you're walking on the road, Lord, please give me an opportunity. For instance, I get on the plane, Lord, there must be somebody here who needs to hear about Christ. Just give me an opportunity. Now, little prayer like that, even for an introvert, will help. Because then somebody might just engage in conversation about Man United or Chelsea or something else entirely. And then, bang, you're able to just tell them about who you are. Just who you are. And so I read a story this morning by a lady who had gone to... she had been praying for someone in Ireland for like 18 years or so to give their life to Christ, and the person hadn't responded. Now, she was at this salon where she was doing a pedicure, and she was saying, Lord, I need to talk to this lady. But the lady wasn't interested. So she found a magazine there, a GQ magazine, and on it was a pop artist or someone who the lady doing the hair and the pedicure got interested in. And apparently, this person was a Christian. So that led her to sharing faith with her. So it's to look for opportunities that way, even if you have an introvert. Okay.
Thank you, David. Go on, Phil.
I think I'd say at first, evangelism is not a personality type. So some of the best evangelists I know are introverts. Hmm. And even those of us who are really extroverted, I don't know about Simon and David, but I find it really painful approaching strangers. But a bit like you, Ben, throughout lockdown, as a frustrated evangelist, I've been offering to pray for people as I run on the streets. The people around Quinton, where I live, have had a sweaty skinhead runner approach them and say, is there anything I can pray for you this morning? And all that time, I don't really enjoy doing it, but sometimes God, the Spirit, you just got to do it. And sometimes I bottle it, genuinely, still is failure. Sometimes I don't get it right. But the only one, first of all, is real openness. During the whole of the last 18 months, only one person has said no. But when I think about the last Alpha course we ran at church, the people who invited people, it was probably about 50-50 who I'd say were introverts and extroverts. All of us find it difficult, but we really need to make sure that evangelism's not doesn't turn into this kind of personality type. And we story tell to celebrate those introverted evangelists as much as the extrovert ones.
Great. We're very close to our end points. Can I just ask, but all three of you, just to say in 10 seconds, like your top tip for going for it, to just have the confidence, the boldness to share Jesus. We've mentioned it probably already, but 10 seconds each. So Simon.
Just go for it. Well, once you've already started it, it's too late to come back, isn't it? Just burn your bridges, start, open your mouth, go for it.
Does it. Phil?
As leaders, whatever we're doing to train and equip others in evangelism, crank it up a notch. It's worth it.
And David?
Finally, as leaders, lead from the front and mission possible.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much to Dr. David, to Phil, Simon, for your thoughts, wisdom and insight. We are so grateful that you've been able to join us today. So thank you for all your input. Coming up next on this stream, we have Bishop Will Hazelwood, Father Grant Naylor and Nick Debney, sharing about what it means to make disciples in the sacramental context, the power of the sacrament to shape church and help people grow in their faith in the context of new Christian communities, which will be really exciting. I hope you can join us for that. Alternatively, you can hop over to another of our 9 streams where there are a wide variety of fascinating seminars to choose from. We're now going to take a few minutes intermission before we kick the next slot off at 3:10. So sit back, enjoy the rest of the afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this one. Thank you, everyone.